Harbor, Michigan. He is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence for allegedly changing the dates to some signatures on a recall petition for the mayor of Benton Harbor. At 9:30, Kristen Yunt interviews Michael Gould Watarski about his new book, The Occupiers, The Making of the 99% Movement. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15, we hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on The Dirtbag, host Glenn Anderson and Jim Gilbert talk about growing nuts in Western Oregon. They also discuss blooming plants to brighten your way as the days become shorter. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, go and become one now at kboo.fm/support. Good night, Don.
Good night, Jared.
Good night, Sequoia.
Good night, gentlemen.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
After an all-day hearing yesterday, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission voted to remove the gray wolves from listing as an endangered species in the state. There are currently 81 gray wolves in the state of Oregon, and local activists say the wolf population is far from secure. Oregon Wild spoke with KBOO's Cliff Verla about the decision to delist the wolf.
Yesterday that the Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission delisted the wolf. Does that mean that the Federal Endangered Species Act is really superfluous? I mean, every state can decide its own policies.
Well, they're supposed to work in concert. So the Federal Endangered Species Act has very strong protections that influence what a federal agency can do. So, for instance, the Forest Service, if they wanted to go out and clear-cut the habitat around the denning site of OR-7's pack, the Rogue Pack down in southern Oregon, that would be illegal under the Endangered Species Act for a federal agency to do that. The State Endangered Species Act applies more to state agencies and to private citizens. So the goal of the State Endangered Species Act when it came to wolves up until yesterday was to try and encourage state agencies and private citizens to minimize conflicts with wolves, to try and avoid getting into conflicts between wolves and livestock, and to generally support the recovery of the species in the state. So they're not really superfluous to each other. They actually work in concert. One is more focused on how federal public agencies work, like the Forest Service. The other is more focused on how state and private entities work.
What is the extent of the conflict with the wolves?
Well, you know, in some ways, it's a little bit of a tempest in a teapot. You know, the actual impact of wolves on the ground in Oregon to the livestock industry has been minuscule. There's about 1.5 million cows in Oregon. In a typical year, we've seen wolves take somewhere between 2 and 5 cows. The rest of them are still out there doing just fine. We had a depredation last month down in the Klamath Basin that generated a lot of attention. But at the end of the day, while one cow was killed by a wolf, about 9,000 died of other causes in October before they made it to the slaughterhouse. We were joking with the reporter there of non-wolf-related causes. But, you know, why wolves generate so much controversy is that these animals are really symbolic for a much bigger debate in America today. You know, it's not overstating it to say wolves are really the symbol of American wilderness. And a lot of folks in eastern Oregon view them as a symbol of the wilderness that was tamed, of land that was put to good use to raise sheep and cattle. You know, I've had ranchers tell me their granddad shot bulls and they were happy about it, and he had a good reason for shooting them. However, the majority of Oregonians, the majority of the public nationally, want these animals back. They want them back on the landscape doing what they're supposed to do. So we have this conflict where some folks in eastern Oregon just don't want them, period. The majority of the state do want them, and you have an agency like the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife caught in the middle a little bit. The problem there is the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is supposed to serve the majority of citizens in the state. It has a clear mission to protect and restore native fish and wildlife, but oftentimes it ends up behaving more like an extension of whoever has the most powerful collection of lobbyists in Salem. And I think the decision yesterday is reflective of that.
This is now a fact that the species has been delisted. What do you think this will do to their numbers?
Well, it's very concerning. So when wolves have had strong legal protections under the Endangered Species Act, we've seen a couple things. One, it's kept pressure on the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to really emphasize non-lethal ways of controlling conflict. So, you know, when you think about the traditional way of dealing with a wolf that takes a sheep is to go out and shoot the wolf, and that's how people did it when we hunted wolves to extinction. What we know today is the better way to deal with that is to try and improve the animal husbandry practices to make the sheep a less attractive target to wolves, and that can be things as simple as just having guard dogs and a herder around the sheep. So if the dogs start barking, there's a human presence to scare away the wolves. That's time intensive, that's labor intensive, it can be expensive, and there's a lot of dislike of doing that in the ranching community and also on the part of ODFW. You know, they have experts who've been going out in the field assisting livestock operations and trying to improve their practices. So one concrete outcome of this is that while ODFW says, trust us, we're going to continue doing all the right things on the ground, those good things are no longer mandatory. It's no longer required that a rancher take some non-lethal steps before they'll be issued a kill permit. One way we could see that playing out is if there's a rancher who has a problem with losing livestock to wolves up on a national forest, rather than being required to exhaust non-lethal ways of reducing those losses, he will be able to much more quickly get a kill permit and just reach for the rifle. The other aspects of this are troubling to us. One is poaching. We've had a number of illegal wolf killings in Oregon when they were still listed under the Endangered Species Act. Removing them from the Endangered Species Act really sends a signal that prosecutors and law enforcement are not going to prioritize those investigations anymore. And then finally, they sort of pursued a process here that's troubling, and it sets a bad precedent for other animals in Oregon. The State Endangered Species Act requires an independent review of the science behind a decision to remove protection. So it isn't something where the state can just wave a magic wand and say, aha, today wolves are no longer an endangered species. They actually have to have a scientific process. They're supposed to go out and get independent scientists to critique their documents before they make a final decision. ODFW did not do that. They made a final decision when it became clear to them that that was probably not legal, that they actually were required to do this study. They went back and retroactively solicited reviews from a handful of folks who agreed with their conclusions and tried to yesterday sort of prove up and demonstrate to the commission that they think they complied with the law at least close enough. And that's not something we want to see in wolf management. It's not something we want to see in management of other species in Oregon, you know, coho salmon, golden eagles, any number of other critters in Oregon that deserve science-based management. We don't want to see the agency cutting corners and trying to do their homework after the fact.
So what can Oregon Wild do to improve the wolf's chances of surviving this?
Well, there's a few things we'll be doing. You know, we have 81 of these animals in the state. The number fluctuates a little bit, and sadly, it's fluctuated lately and gone down because of poaching. In our view, the most important thing the state can be doing is continuing to emphasize non-lethal prevention of conflict between livestock and wolves, rather than just reaching for the rifle after the conflict happens. So a few things we've been doing. We have a large number of Oregon Wild members who have been attending these meetings that OFW's held. They've gone to Salem and lobbied the legislature to really hold the agency's feet to the fire, to use good science to continue managing these animals with an emphasis on conservation. You may have noticed from some of the news accounts yesterday, about half the audience at the commission meeting were Oregon Wild members, all wearing Oregon Wild T-shirts. So that's one thing we're going to continue to do is putting grassroots pressure on the agency. Another one right now is we're reviewing the decision they made, how they made it, and whether or not it was legal. And that's something that we and I know a number of other groups are going to be struggling with in the next few weeks. If ODFW violated the law and how they made this decision, that sets a bad precedent. You know, we are concerned about the outcome here for wolves, but we do not want to see ODFW start using this precedent on other species of, if they're unpopular, if the ranching community doesn't like them, if the logging community doesn't like them, seeing ODFW just move forward to unilaterally remove them from the endangered species list. That's not something we want to see stand. And then, you know, the last thing is we like to get the public out to celebrate these animals. You know, the perspective that the livestock industry has, that they're just a terrible thing and we should get rid of them again, you know, really flies in the face of the modern reality that if you look at a place like Yellowstone National Park and you look at the communities around Yellowstone, having wolves back has been an enormous boon to tourism. It's brought people into those communities to spend money and in turn support jobs that otherwise wouldn't have been there.
In the article I read, that mentioned a term called overutilization. Is that just another term for killing them?
It is. You know, ODFW, you can tell there's a lot of lawyers working for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife because there's some really creative ways of saying things so they don't sound unpleasant to the public. And, you know, that is one of the terms of art they use, overutilization as a substitute for killing too many of them. And that's kind of how we got into this mess in the first place. The last wild wolf in Oregon was shot in 1947. By a hunter who was actually shooting it for a bounty. Oregon had a bounty program where we were paying people out of public money to go out and kill wolves. So, you know, in the ODFW lexicon there, overutilization is when human hunters, whether with rifles or traps or poisons, are killing more wolves than the population can replace.
These wolves, these last 81 wolves, they're in northeastern Oregon.
There's a few in the Cascades now. The Rogue Pack is somewhere between 5 and somewhat larger. We don't know how many pups survived the year. And then there's a few individual animals that have been spotted in the Cascades.
Do they travel into Washington or Idaho?
Well, Idaho for sure. You know, all of our wolves in Oregon, all the known wolves in Oregon, actually came to us from Idaho. They swam the Snake River and repopulated northeast Oregon by coming here from Idaho. And that's typical wolf behavior. You know, a wolf pack puts down roots in good habitat where there's plenty of food and plenty of cover and not many people. And then after a few years, the younger wolves will start to get restless, and often young males first, but also young females will set out on their own and go looking for new habitat and a mate. You know, most famously, we saw that with OR7, who left northeast Oregon way back in 2011. He spent 3 years roaming Oregon and California, traveled about 3,000 miles total before he settled down in the southern Cascades. He found a mate and formed the Rogue Pack. So that's sort of how wolves do their thing. You know, they put down roots in good habitat. The pack grows there, and if the young ones that set out find good habitat and find a mate, they'll start a new pack.
Well, this has been a very fascinating conversation. I'm speaking with Steve Pettery of Oregon Wild, and I think it sounds like a lot of education is in the offing. I hope we can open up the attitudes to surviving with the wolves and to encouraging their livelihood. I think trying to exclude wolves from the picture is like trying to exclude blue or yellows from the rainbow. You know, it's got to all be there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where the public is. You know, we did a poll back in May statewide that showed about 66% public support for maintaining endangered species protection for wolves. And that included, I think we got actually had 52% of Republicans. So it's not a case of the public was demanding this change. And I think it, in the long term, it's actually undercuts ODFW's viability as an agency. You know, they've had a big funding problem. The number of most of their money comes from hunting and fishing license sales. those sales have been going down every year for the last 20 years because there's fewer and fewer people engaging in those activities. So the agency has a big budget problem. They've been trying to reach out to bird watchers, to hikers, to try and get more general fund money, essentially more general public tax money. But it's, you know, it's pretty hard to get an organization like Oregon Wild to go tell our members support, you know, taxes on hiking boots for ODFW because they're going to use it to persecute wolves. You're not going to get a lot of people in the conservation community cheering for you doing that. So I think this decision, you know, while on the one hand they want to get out of the controversy, on the other, it's pretty short-sighted if your goal is to really have a stable funding base and, you know, a real base of public support going forward.
Yeah, I think more and more people are becoming more environmentally minded, so there you go.
Yeah, and I can say of the various things that I've worked on here at Oregon Wild, I've been here for about 12 years now, there's certainly a tremendous amount of public interest in wolves. You know, as much as some ranchers may view them as the symbol of what their granddads tamed and put to good use, I think there's an awful lot more people out there who really view them, you know, as essentially the symbol of freedom in the American wilderness. And, you know, if you're a backpacker or a rafter or a hiker or a mountain biker, someone who just enjoys getting out, you know, on Mount Hood or going to the Crater Lake, hearing a wolf howl in those places is a dream a lot of folks have. And I think in the long term, that's what people want to see again, is that we still have some pockets of wild left in Oregon. And, you know, the definition of a wild place is, you know, being able to look out over a place like Crater Lake and hear a wolf howl echo around the caldera.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you, and thanks for the time.
I am Cliff Verla for KBOO News.
You just got done listening to KBOO's News in Depth. Stay tuned for Preference coming up at a little here in just a few moments.